Welcome back to the Make or Break Show, where each week we bring you stories of incredible makers and the make or break moments that have defined them along the way. I'm your host, Brandon Cullum, and this week we chat with Lainey from Pine and Birch. Lainey runs a successful sign business, and we get into what it takes to sell products on Etsy in 2019, as well as vinyl machines, CNCs, and plasma cutters. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Another fun one, as always, for you. This week, we are hanging out with Lainey and talking all things signs. If you guys sell products or you're interested in selling products and you've ever thought about Etsy or just wanted to figure out what would be a better way to get those out there, then this is going to be a fun episode for you because Lainey has been doing it for a while and she makes some really, really cool stuff. But before we get into the interview, as always, right at the very top of the show, thank you to all the awesome and wonderful supporters over on Patreon. This show would not be possible without you guys. We are coming up on over 2 years. Actually, we are well over 2 years. The show has been going and looking forward to 2020 and all the fun things that we'll be doing next year. But if you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/makeorbreakshow. We don't have any sponsors, and this show is supported 100% by you guys. So thank you so much if you do support, and if you'd like to support in the future, that would be absolutely amazing. But thank you so much just for listening. That means the world. All right, getting into this week's episode, again, we're hanging out with Lainey from Eastern Kentucky, and she is Pine and Birch over on Instagram, as well as on Etsy, and she makes some really, really cool signs that I've got a lot of attitude to them. You definitely need to check her store out, and we get into not only the sign creation process, but also how she has built a business around it. We get into things like what happens when traffic on Instagram goes down, or what happens with Etsy in 2020 and building an email list and all those different types of business things. So even if you guys aren't making signs, but you're thinking about selling products, I think this will be a really good interview for you guys. So without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Lainey. All right, guys, welcome back to the Make or Break Show. We're hanging out with Lainey today, calling in from way east in Kentucky. The shop owner, the brainchild, I guess, behind Pine and Birch. You do tons of really cool stuff, and real excited to get into your journey and all the really cool stuff that you make.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. So if people aren't familiar with what you do, is your primary kind of work that you do, is it signs? Is that the big push, or do you do other stuff as well?
It is. Signs is definitely the bulk of what I do. But over the years, I kind of find myself wanting to pull the phrases and quotes from the signs onto some other products.
Yeah.
So occasionally I'll sneak in something else besides a sign, but you know, I've thrown it on t-shirts and stuff in the past, and just quirky little funny quotes, and I've got the wood grams, which is like the letter boards that you can kind of swap out and
put
thing on. But I'd say it all kind of sticks with the sign.
That's cool.
Wheelhouse.
Yeah, and so it's all product. So I mean, your whole business is around selling like physical products.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Completely product.
That's cool. Well, before we get into kind of what all your business looks like now, I'd love to kind of get into, I feel like I saw that your dad was like a builder. Is that kind of how you got exposed to this whole world?
Yes. I some days think you're like almost just born with the need to like make things.
Right, right.
But I was lucky that my dad, amazingly talented carpenter. He started out building houses, and then he kind of moved into steel buildings later in his career. And I actually got to work with him a little on steel building construction. So kind of learned a little random knowledge throughout that. But yeah, that's definitely, I'd say, what has molded me into doing a lot of things I do is my dad.
Was he like running his own business, or was he working for other folks?
Yeah, he had a construction company.
Okay.
You know, he started out building houses, working for someone, and then kind of ran into his own construction company. And up until 2013, he was still doing steel buildings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were growing up, did you know that was kind of the direction you wanted to go, or Did you have something else in mind?
With like what I'm doing now?
Yeah, or just like wanting to like build and work with your hands and like create things.
Definitely. Even if like my day job wasn't that, I would have always, you know, navigated towards doing some type of building and creating. I actually went to drafting school. So I've always had definitely building, you know. And I kind of think through drafting school, I found that I like the hands-on side of it better than the design side.
Yeah.
Of at least structures. So I didn't end up like going in, you know, to work with the drafting side of things, but I've always had the just kind of an obsession with how things are made and designing and how things are built and actually building myself.
The drafting, is that, was it like pen and paper, like drawing drafting or electronic?
It was. I don't even know if they still teach it that way. I'm probably dating myself here. But yeah, you did a couple years on paper and then they shifted you over to like the CAD side on the computer. Yeah.
It was it architecture style stuff or was it others as well?
At school, they just kind of, I think, teach you the basics to let you go into what you want to do. I would have probably leaned harder to the architecture side instead of just laying out plans for like a steel building or something.
Right.
I wanted to do more of the design side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you always have that kind of design bug then? Like, were you drawing and like always sketching stuff?
Yes. My mom still has a little picture. I think I was like 3 and I picked a flower and like, you know, copied out, sketched the flowers. She still has framed. So
that's awesome.
Before I can even remember. So I guess I was evidently always had a artistic design bug.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so you didn't go into drafting. What'd you do after college?
Well, I helped my dad, worked with his business, kind of ended up sticking with that. And then I think it was in 2005, we kind of fell into a furniture store. We were selling like returns from big box stores.
Okay.
So that was pretty neat. And that's kind of how I landed in the signs was I had the furniture store and I kept wanting to add something else to sell along with it that I could make. So that's where the signs kind of started in. And then I moved it over to Etsy.
Okay, cool. So were you making, you said you were making your own signs or you were reselling signs?
Yeah, I was making them and just kind of adding them into the brick and mortar store.
Okay.
And then the big box resell stuff kind of phased out. And I kept going with the signs and just moved everything online.
Was that just kind of on the side while you're also working construction with your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I still actually work with him.
So oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. More office stuff now because he's still got a lot of things, but he's not out doing the physical, you know, actual construction. So, yeah, I kind of help him with all his office stuff. We've got a bunch of rental property and stuff that I manage too.
Gotcha. That's cool. So, how long ago was it that you moved on to Etsy?
I started on Etsy in 2015.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was like, I feel like people were still saying at that point, like Etsy's dead. Like you can't sell anything. Even like, it feels like that was what, 4 years ago. But I know looking at your shop, it feels like you do pretty well. So was it like right off the bat? Did you know this would be something that's going to kind of work for you?
I've probably had a different journey than people that just went straight to Etsy. I put things on Etsy, but then I kind of somehow stumbled into the Instagram world and into like the home decor. And so a lot of my sales would come from Instagram over to Etsy.
Yeah.
And which, you know, as well as everybody, Instagram's getting super tough. They're making a lot of changes that I'm not sure where they're headed with those changes, but I'm working now to make sure that I promote and push my store from other platforms besides Instagram.
Yeah.
Because that method is, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket and I kind of got in a bad habit of doing that with Instagram.
Yeah.
So, but I know a lot of people that just do Etsy and they really don't promote on social media much. So all their traffic comes from Etsy and they do really well.
Yeah. So on Instagram, did you go into it thinking of it as a business, like when it was Pine and Birch?
I didn't. I already had an, I had this account, which was just like my personal account. I think everybody kind of had a personal Instagram, didn't use it as much. And then I started posting like photos of the signs in the house and, you know, at home, some home, you know, like design projects, and met some other people that were posting like home decor stuff. And I would make a sign for them and they'd post it. And that would kind of, you know, drive more people to my page and looking for different signs. And so it kind of grew organically. You know, at that time I was new to Etsy. I'm going to say new to Instagram for promotional purposes. And it was a lot easier to grow back then on Instagram. I have people ask me that a lot now, like, how do you grow your account? And I wouldn't even know where to start.
Right.
Now, it's just changed so much in those short years. But I would just meet people and end up making things for their house. And they would help me a lot by sharing photos and promoting that way, and then send it over to Etsy. So Instagram helped a lot for sales and to grow my shop account.
Yeah. So when you were making designs, like you mentioned, people were asking you to make stuff for their home. So like, was it a mix of like your own ideas and then like people come in saying like, can you make something like this?
It was. Probably when I first started out, I would get a lot of custom, people coming to me with their ideas because I didn't have as many things that I had already made that they could kind of look at. So I would get a lot of people that would send me a quote or, you know, something that they thought up. And then a lot of times they'd give me a style, like, do you want a kind of script style? Do you want a serif style? And I would kind of go from there on the design side of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a mix. And then I did get more into just kind of making my own things, you know, that's kind of, I don't want to call it generic, but just that anybody would want, that's not so customized.
Right. Yeah. That definitely makes sense. And so the signs, were they like, were you making them by hand or like were you using machines or are they prints? Like what are the, like, especially the wooden ones?
Everything is, I use plywood on all the signs, like a birch plywood, and all that has changed. I've learned a lot and changed a lot of how I do things since I started. And I think that, I don't want to get too off track with it, but I think that's part of it. Like, you almost have to get in there and, you know, figure out what works and what doesn't. But I've definitely upgraded all the, the materials I use over the years. But right now it's birch plywood. I actually spray the backgrounds. I don't hand brush those anymore. Yeah. I don't think spraying is quicker. I think it just has a better look and, you know, better end result.
Yeah.
So I spray everything and then I am using a vinyl cutter to actually make the lettering, and then I spray the lettering on and pull the vinyl back off. So
they're
all painted.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, and those are all of the wooden signs. What about like the letters are like on top? Like, is that, are you using a CNC to do that stuff, or are you doing it with a scroll saw?
Right now, I'm using a scroll saw.
Oh, geez. Yeah, so way old school.
Yeah, which is not great efficiency-wise, but I'm interested in a laser. I think you have a laser. I might need to pick your brain.
Yeah, I've got, one, yeah.
But I just got a small CNC from ShopBot, and I... that's the direction I want to go, but I kind of got the scroll saw just so I could like visualize what the 3D would look like and see if I liked it, see if I wanted to go that route. And I think it gives it a more, I don't want to say, the quality looks better when you've got 3D on there as opposed to just painted. So I really like the way it looks. And I'm just kind of on the path right now, figuring out CNC or laser, what would work best for what I'm wanting to do. And I will probably end up going more 3D, kind of 3D effect with my signs.
Yeah, yeah. The few, or I guess the few that you already have up there look really cool.
Thank you.
The 3D effect with the letters. That's crazy that you're scroll sawing Start out with that.
Yeah. It's, I've only been using that for probably a couple months off and on. And then the bourbon barrel lids that I put the words on, those are scroll sawed, and I probably would have to keep scroll sawing that particular design because I was going with the raw plywood.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the, I think a CNC could probably get that. I'm getting ready to dive in on it now and kind of learn it and see if that'll do what I'm wanting to do with the 3D look.
Yeah. So how did you always know you're going to use a vinyl cutter to start out, or like were you hand painting at the very beginning?
I always use the vinyl cutter.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't, I think if I had sat down and tried to learn the art of hand lettering, yeah, I could have probably figured it out. And a lot of people do a lot of really pretty stuff with the hand lettering. But I also, for me, it's, I like that crisp, you know, super crisp look, right, and it would take me forever to hand letter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always stuck with the vinyl cutter.
That's cool. What vinyl cutter do you use?
It is a Titan 2 from, it's like a 26 inch from, I get my stuff through US Cutter, and I think they've made a new model of that vinyl cutter now, but I can't really say anything bad about it. It's made it through, I'm probably on 3 years with this one. That's cool. I use it pretty heavy, so it's been a good one.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't even know why I wouldn't. Like, I didn't even think, like, we have, like, a little Cricut, and it didn't even cross my mind, like, I could use it to cut out letters and then paint. Like, because I do the same thing just on the CNC where, like, I'll put vinyl on, cut out design, and then paint it underneath. But I was like, oh, I could just use vinyl and do the same thing. That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of little tricks with vinyl and painting that I've figured out over the years, like, if you've got something painted and you stick vinyl and you want to paint the lettering color, you need to kind of seal it first.
Yes. Yep.
So that doesn't all bleed under. And so it's just little tricks of the trade you kind of learn as you go, and ways around problems that pop up with it.
Right.
But it's a quick way to get your ideas kind of over as a stencil.
Yeah. So do you seal your signs? Like, is it like shellac or just like a clear coat, or?
I do not. I leave them. I've heard a lot, with most of my stuff indoor, so I don't think there's a huge need for it to be sealed, but I see a lot of sealant that'll kind of yellow over time.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So I've kind of stayed away from doing any kind of top coat on them.
Yeah.
So I've got signs that I've had that I've made for, you know, years ago, and I've never had any issues with leaving them unsealed. So I think I just keep on going that route.
Yeah. So, at the time of this recording, it's towards the end of November. So this is definitely prime time, sign time, I guess. What's it like in your shop? Like, are you putting out like just tons of signs each week that you're working on?
This year I am, I've had some, you know, like my dad's had some family stuff, medical stuff going on. So I haven't done as much this year as I normally do. The last couple of years, it's been kind of chaotic towards the end of the year, to the point that I feel like I almost miss Christmas myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm shopping last minute and, just here constantly. So. And you know, you've got to make those shipping deadlines. Everything's got to be out in time to get there for other people to use as gifts. I do a lot of the gift side. I try to add some, you know, Christmas designs in for people to decorate with, but that's also a big time of the year. Just, you know, people looking for stuff to give as gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you, do you add like lots of new designs each year, or do you find that you kind of stick to the same ones, or the same ones kind of sell?
Yeah, I typically, in the past, I've always kind of had a habit of making like a whole new collection.
Gotcha.
For each fall and each Christmas. And I end up like coming out with all new stuff. This year I had some favorites from last year that I'm going to pull back in because they were pretty popular. So it's kind of a mix, but all in all, and that's just, I think, the way my own brain is wired. I always want to make something new, come up with something new. So I do a lot of new stuff each year.
Yeah. What's your favorite sign? Or do you have a favorite sign?
Can we cuss?
Sure, you could definitely cuss.
It would be the shit show sign.
I was about to say, that one, I feel like I see that one show up all over the place.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that would be a favorite.
Yeah, that's what, because I've definitely seen these, I guess, style signs before. Like, they're pretty popular. They're usually, like, really inspirational, kind of flowery stuff. And then when I saw yours, I'm like, okay, this is, she's definitely coming at it from a different, but yeah. it's really unique, which makes it fun. Lots of personality. But
yeah, that's just kind of my, you know, life gets tough, days are busy, and I've kind of gotten to the point where if I can make something to even hang on my wall that kind of makes you laugh or, you know, just lightens things up. And that's, I love it. So I've kind of ended up landing on that angle.
Yeah. How did you come up with the idea of using like a bourbon barrel top to make a sign?
Well, in here in Kentucky, as you know, there are tons of bourbon barrels. I've seen other people do that in the past. And, I just kind of liked the look of it. I hadn't really seen anybody do a lot of scroll saw stuff with it, but it just kind of, and plus it's a little piece of Kentucky kind of added in. So, I like the reclaimed wood. I like that it's from Kentucky, and I thought it would kind of pop against like a plywood or white paint or something. So we've got plenty of those laying around here.
That's cool. So, you also mentioned that you do metal signs as well.
Yes.
And you said that's with you have a plasma cutter that you do?
Yes. I got a plasma CNC table, in 2018, around probably summer of 2018. So I would still call myself pretty new to that, to the whole plasma world, but I've learned a lot up until now, and I still have a ton to learn, but it's been fun. It's pretty neat to take a sheet of steel and be able to, you know, just within a couple seconds, cut out pretty much whatever you can think of.
Yeah. What plasma cutter do you have?
I have the actual plasma cutter is a Hypotherm 45 XP, and then I have a Wright CNC table.
Okay. And is that pretty common where like the actual plasma cutter, you'll get different than the, like the CNC gantry?
Well, the, mine came like, you know, packaged together with it, but, Hypotherm UC is, I think, in my opinion, it is the top in the industry. So you see most people using the Hypotherm brand, and a lot of the table companies just kind of rope it in as a package and add the Hypotherm with it.
Yeah. So when you're learning something like that, like I imagine that's not the easiest to figure out, or even like the CNC, the ShopBot, like how do you go about it? Are you just kind of trial and error, or what's that kind of look like for you?
Over the years, I've learned to lean on YouTube a lot because, you know, somebody else has already learned it and is willing to get on there and kind of break it down for you. So I have definitely used a lot of YouTube to learn the plasma table, and Wright CNC has some videos and stuff that kind of steps you through that. But I actually, that didn't work, did it? When I went to Work Bench Conference, I met quite a few people that also do, you know, CNC plasma, and they've been huge help. I still keep in touch with a lot of people, you know, through Instagram, on the phone, that have kind of been there to answer questions and kind of help me through some of the figuring out, because that is so new to me.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your shop right now, the sparkly fires, is that's metal on top? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's crazy. That how fast does that take to cut? Like, how thick is that steel that you're cutting out?
I pretty much cut 16 gauge.
Okay.
Just everything I do is 16 gauge. So it's not super thick. And I probably run mine a little slower. You know, I'm, like I was saying, I'm still like in the process of figuring it out. But, and things change through, you know, weather kind of has an effect on that. But I'd say within a couple minutes, as slow as I'm running, to have that all cut out.
That's cool. That's
it goes pretty quick.
Yeah, that's crazy. Whenever I see like one of those working, it's always wild just to see.
Yeah, I never get tired of watching those work.
Yeah, just fire blasting it. That steel.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you mentioned, and I guess kind of we all know like the Instagram stuff is changing, especially people driving traffic to other sites. So like, where do you see the biggest like bang for your buck, like in 2020 or like moving forward, like for your store and everything?
If I had to back up and tell myself when I started, what would be the most important, I would have definitely worked harder to build an email list.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Like I absolutely think everybody should, you know, get an email list built up because, and I've heard it said this way, if Instagram was gone tomorrow, how would you even contact all these people that you've, you know, built a relationship and a following with all these years? But Pinterest, I think, is huge, especially for what I do,
for the decor
and the ideas and people just, you know, wanting to find ideas of things they can do in their house or, and I know Pinterest allows you to do posts where you can actually sell product off Pinterest now. So I think Pinterest is huge for shops. If you're in a shop space, it's definitely a big one.
Yeah. So do you use Pinterest now to drive traffic?
I do. Not like I should though. That's a big goal for me in the next coming year is to really kind of work on fanning out, you know, where I do put my content and where I promote my shop from. And Pinterest will probably be the one that I kind of hit the hardest.
That's what I feel like I hear a lot of people talk about when they're selling products. Pinterest is really helpful because it's something you can, I guess you can like repost even the same things and it's, like people are used to going there and either finding ideas or finding stuff to buy.
Yeah. And people, I mean, you know, a lot of people just looking for an idea, they'll post your pin and then that just keeps helping it get seen more. So I know Pinterest also has an algorithm, but I think it's a little more forgiving than the way like Instagram's is driven now. So, and you never know, you'll get on there. Like I've got one pin, you know, people can pull your post off Instagram, put it on Pinterest themselves. And I've probably got a picture of my living room entrance. Just one pin I saw that was shared like over 100,000 times on
Pinterest. That's crazy.
So, and you never know, you know, you don't know what it's going to be, but if you just keep putting stuff on there, something will get picked up and they keep sharing it. It's got a link back to you. So, and it's a free, you know, it's free. Take advantage of getting your product out there for free. So, yeah, I would definitely say Pinterest. I need to get a little better about using Facebook, but I've kind of slacked on Facebook. And supposedly TikTok's going to get big, but I haven't quite figured out exactly.
Dancing in the shop or something.
Which
I'm up for it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, all right. So you mentioned email, and I definitely hear that from lots of people. Email's still king because you can still contact them regardless. Yeah. So are there things you're doing now? Like, are you thinking about how can I capture email addresses of current and like future customers?
I don't like to be like super salesy. Right. I think I've done okay at not being that way. So I always like to try to kind of be giving people something. A big one that I do is like free printables each month. So sign up for the email list and I'm at least sending out like a free printable that they can print off and frame. And it kind of gives them, you know, something to use for decor and design. I like to at least, instead of just signing you up for emails to send you sell stuff, I like to kind of be giving something back too. So, but I do need to get in gear and do better. You know, it's hard. I'm still by myself in my shop. So it is so hard to not only make product, but, you know, get it promoted on all those platforms and keep up with emails. And one of these days I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get a helper and start delegating some of these tasks.
Yeah. What's kind of your like percentage look like? Like, or is the majority of the time in the shop versus like in front of the computer doing more of the marketing stuff?
Yes, it's definitely more. You know, I know a lot of people, I'm going to try to walk and turn this air compressor off.
No, you're fine.
I know a lot of people they keep things kind of planned out. Like they've got all their social media planned out to where they just hit a button and it's, you know, posting everything. And they probably know weeks ahead what they're going to be doing. I'm more spontaneous. I think I do better work last minute. That's probably not the best method to tell other people to do, but that's just kind of how my brain works. So I'll, like if I post something on Instagram, it's probably something that I just made that day and, and just snapped a picture of. And, so yeah, the majority of my time is actually in the shop making stuff. And then I'll kind of hop on towards the end of the day and, you know, stick something online.
What's, your shop space? What's it kind of look like if, for people that haven't seen it? Did you just walk through it? Was that your shop?
Yeah. So okay. I have like 5,000 square feet.
Jeez. Okay.
Which is kind of insane. Do you want me to walk through?
Sure. Yeah.
It's large and it's taken me a long time and it's a mess, but, so I've got a little office here and that kind of gives me a spot if I need to like take a quick photo.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So you always have something set up to where you can.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's tough to photograph, and I've had to learn to be creative to photograph, you know, pieces in the shop and them not look like they're just laying in a dirty workshop.
Right. Right.
But, so I've got, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I've got a little paint booth in there and like a finishing room to kind of keep the dust off. And then I've got woodworking, mostly woodworking stuff in this section. And then it moves back to, I'm trying to get all the steel, everything related to steel moved back into this section.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot of space. I've been lucky with, this is actually my dad's building. There's some other businesses and stuff in it. And okay. We had this spot was open and I've kind of taken it over. So
that's cool.
It's a lot. It's there's a big front room that I may try to do something with, do a display room, or I've even thought about actually going back into, I don't want to call it brick and mortar, but making a showroom and doing like certain hours on the weekend, you know, to sell local or something. So
that's cool.
That's an idea possible.
That's real cool. So I know a lot of people, when I talk to them, if they're selling stuff, especially they have like great ideas, maybe they even are, they've got a process down for making it, but always when it comes to like shipping, that's always like the piece that people are like, I didn't even realize how hard shipping was going to be. I know for me that was the case. I'm like, I'm so tired of like going to the post office or whatever, but kind of how do you handle shipping? Cause I mean, you've got some big things that you're sending out.
Yeah. I was on the, just talking, you know, Derek from Malden.
Yeah.
I was just talking to him earlier cause he's kind of thinking about doing some stuff on Etsy. And that's what we were talking about was shipping. I think that was one of the tough things for me to learn when I first started, because you'll make a product and then it's like, oh, if I had made this an inch smaller, it would fit in this perfect box. So, you know, as I've kind of learned that over time, I now kind of think, which I've got a lot of boxes and a lot of sizes built up, and I'll think like, what size box do I have? Let me scale this to fit that. I ship, you know, UPS or on Etsy, you've got the option of post office, FedEx. You kind of have to learn like which, you know, if I'm shipping close to home or certain states, it's cheaper to go this way. But I think shipping is always tough.
Yeah.
It's, and there may be services out there that would even make things cheaper for me. That's something I'm always definitely trying to figure out.
Yeah. The shipping piece is always, it's no fun. It doesn't seem like.
Yes. So. And I know there's, you know, spots like the ShipStation spot. Yeah. And different sites that'll kind of organize it for you. And probably because I'm still on Etsy, I have not looked into that as much, but I do have a website. I just need to get everything pushed over there. And I'd probably always keep Etsy, but I'd like to push the products over to my own site. We were kind of talking about Etsy. I think it's gotten more difficult the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
It gets tough to be seen if you're just trying to sell off Etsy. So it's your job either way to push your traffic. might as well push it to your own website, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So do you see, like, in the future, like, would you like the majority of your sales to come through just your own website?
Yeah. 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 I would definitely like to get it shifted over. And I would probably, you know, like I was saying, I'd probably keep Etsy. I know a lot of people do that. They'll go to their own website and they'll keep their Etsy shop. But yeah, I would like to get most of it moved over to my own site.
That makes a ton of sense. Well, I appreciate you jumping on and chatting about your business. I know a lot of people, we talk to people that are like more on the content creation side of things. So they talk more about YouTube, but people are always like, we've talked to someone who actually sells something. That would be super helpful, but it's really cool to see all the signs that you're making.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. This is my first podcast.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully it wasn't too bad for you.
No, I love it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, and for people that do want to check you out, just pineandbirch.co, is that the best place you'd send people?
Yeah, you can go to my website there and you can actually jump over to my Etsy and everything from that site. So yeah, Instagram at pine.and.birch is where I keep like photos of everything. So even if it's not in stock in the shop, you can kind of see what's going on through Instagram or the website. I think pretty much takes you everywhere.
Gotcha. Well, sweet. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for hanging around to the end of the show. This is where I give you a quick update about the things I've got going on inside of my shop. And before we get into it, right at the top, I'm pretty congested, so I'm sorry. I feel like I'm talking out of my nose right now. I've been trying to clear up a cold that I've had for like a week. But you guys are not here for that. You're here to hear what's going on. And so I've been working on this project where we're going to send a 360 camera to space on a weather balloon. And the plan was to do it this week, and I was actually heading back to Atlanta to rent another tank of helium until suddenly I realized, dang it, the balloon that I popped last week, if you guys did not know, I did have an attempt last week where the balloon shot off without anything attached and it popped with a tree right above us. I then totally forgot to buy another balloon, and it wasn't anything you could get local. I couldn't get it fast enough. So long story short, I had to push all that back. This is the project that will not end. So it's going to be, the launch is now the beginning of December. So it's going to be after Thanksgiving. So in the meantime, I did get in the shop a little bit. I didn't do a project, but I did a quick, some of my few like favorite smaller tools that I've got for any of you guys out there that are looking for gifts for makers or woodworkers, or you're just wanting something for yourself. These are things that have been super useful for me, and that video is going to be going live today. So this is Friday the 22nd, and so you'll be able to check that out. And then we're going to be taking a week off for Thanksgiving. Not only no videos, but also the podcast. We're going to take a break next week, and then we're going to be coming back strong heading into December. So as always, I would love to know the things that you guys are working on. You can hit me up over on Instagram at the Make or Break Shop. And until next time, go make or break something in your shop. See you guys.